Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Though I have an Irish background, St. Patrick is going to have to take a back seat this year because the readings are very, very important, and we're now very close to Holy Week. And so I want to stay on those readings today. I want to begin by sharing with you something again in Magnificat magazine. My father, Tadeusz Deitcher. Father Deitcher was a Polish priest, a professor of theology in Warsaw, and co-founder of the Families of Nazareth movement. Father Deitcher has written some of the best material, and much of it is now printed in English, and you can access it. His name is Father Tadeusz, and that's T-A-D-E-U-S-Z. T-A-D-E-U-S-Z, Tadeusz, and his last name, Deitcher. I'm certain I don't have it absolutely correct in Polish, but I'm approximating it, I hope. The last name is Deitcher, D-A-J-C-Z-E-R, D-A-J-C-Z-E-R, Father Tadeusz. D-E-U-S-Z, and Deitcher, D-A-J-C-Z-E-R. I'm taking time because he is another. I've been recommending some books to you during Lent, and I really want to recommend his books to you. They're often small books, short, and are packed. Every page is just packed with wisdom and insight. And this is what Father Deitcher says that I want to share with you today. Talking about faith in so many programs, and this is what he says. In wanting to make Abraham the father of our faith, God had to uproot him. Ever feel uprooted physically or at least spiritually, humanly sometimes? God had to uproot him. Abraham became a pilgrim, moving about as if in darkness, since he did not know where he was going. Leaving his own country and home, he became a naked person, the kind of person who has nothing besides God. Therefore, he depended permanently on God and turned to him. Freedom from one's own system of security can be attained in a desert which strips one of everything. We have to look at what our systems are of human security. Are we relying on them more than on God? Father Deitcher continues, the various human systems of security on which you rely become, in the evangelical definition, mammon. In other words, you want to get rid of them. You may believe in it, you may place all your hopes there, but it is not the real God. God wants to protect you from false faith in your life. That is why it is so important to him that you reject your false God. Everything we place our hope in becomes a god. If you place your hope in a false god, then your hope does not make sense. Whoever has a false god lacks faith, or his faith is very weak and paltry. If in your life there is a false god whom you serve and on whom you depend, then from necessity you will come to know bitterness and disappointment. If you put your hope in anything but God, you will come to know bitterness and disappointment. That false master to whom you have entrusted yourself, in whom you placed your hopes, sooner or later must let you down because it's not in God. Moreover, something in your entrustment to that false master will collapse. Christ, when saying that you cannot serve two masters, elaborates his thoughts in forms of symbolic images, and through them teaches us how we should trust, how we should attain that complete entrustment to him as the true master. Go online and put in his name, and you'll see a number of books by him. Father Tadeusz Deitcher, he's written very, very well, especially on faith and prayer. First reading for today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 3 to 9. When Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him, "My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham, for I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting pact, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession. And I will be their God. And God also said to Abraham, on your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking about the Ten Commandments. This is what God has given us. And he has made a covenant with us. If we follow him and obey him, we will have life everlasting. Our part is to keep faith. It's what we said we would do. Psalm 105, the Lord remembers his covenant forever. He remembers forever his covenant. He makes binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. That's how it began, brothers and sisters. Do you draw the Ten Commandments to yourself? Do you live by your own covenant with God that came to you through baptism, through all the other sacraments? You made a promise in each of those, and God supplied. Have you been faithful? Very important area to take a look at. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 51 to 59, Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." Meaning eternal death. Whoever keeps my word will never see death. The word is the compass. The word is the map. The word is all the instructions that we need. Live by them, obey them, follow them, and you'll be set free. You won't be burdened by 1,000 rules. You'll be actually set free, because that's what God intends for those who follow him. So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed." You see, they're all trying to trip him up. What that must have been like for God. Think of that. All of his adult life, everything he said almost, except for a few exceptions, everything he said was ridiculed, mocked, ignored, or they actually attacked him for it. Because we don't want our way of security touched. I've got life figured out. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going, and don't anybody touch it, including my Creator. Well, it won't work that way, because God needs. He stripped Abraham so he could give him everything. We fight being stripped. We fight seeing what we've given ourselves or sacrificed ourselves to accomplish and see it fail or fall. To see the children that we've so raised, given them everything we could, and then see them turning away from God, we're stripped. There's so many ways in which we're stripped. But God allows that in order that we may bow down before him and say, "It's not these things in which I want to put my trust. I want to put my trust in you. Lead me where you want me to go. Help me to do what you want me to do." When that's our disposition, then we really see God's kingdom and our place in that kingdom. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? In other words, are you going to set yourself up? But that'll be a kind of horror, and we can kill you for it. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? You know, the way we phrase that is, who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself out to be? And they have no idea, because they're so blind and so deafened by their own pride and by their own arrogance and by their own systems of security, that they do not recognize that right there before them is the Messiah for whom their people have prayed for thousands of years. They miss it. Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. but it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? I mean, this is the height of being ludicrous. And Jesus said to them, amen, amen. I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. In other words, I always was, I always am, and I always will be. So before Abraham came to be, I am. So what they see is that he's setting himself up above Abraham, and therefore he should be killed. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. Brothers and sisters, there's a world out there who does not want to hear about God. We're called in the church to the new evangelization. What does that really mean? Am I willing to live my faith? Doesn't mean you have to preach in people's faces. But am I willing to live my faith in the public square, in the marketplace, so to speak? Am I ashamed of my faith? Am I ashamed of who God is? Do I just hide that as though that were a private devotion? It's not a private devotion. You're part of the people of God. God has asked you to reach out and bring in the poor, the pitiable, the weak, the blind, the lame. Are you going out? It's in all your situations that you meet every day, at work, at home, wherever you are. The poor, the pitiable, the weak, the blind, the lame are all around us, and sometimes we're actually part of it. Sometimes we're the poor, pitiable, weak, blind, and lame. Brothers and sisters, God took us, in a sense, he created us, he took us by the hands, he raised us up and said, you are my son, you are my daughter, through baptism, I send you out into the world. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Are we living our faith in such a way that God can ask that of us and that we will hear and follow? It's very, very important, brothers and sisters, that we see what our place really is in society. God is absolutely, utterly, positively faithful. Will we be faithful in return? By his grace and power, not by our own. If we rely on ourselves, we'll fall apart the first day or the second, if we're really strong. But we will fall. And when we fall, ask God to forgive you and start all over. But put all your trust in him to keep you faithful. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.